Let's turn back to John chapter 1. John 1 is a very thorough, full passage, and it's hard to cover all of it, and yet I don't want to lose the whole context and string of thought. But let me read the first few verses of John 1 again from this morning. We did the first 18 verses, and I'll look back over that. But John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If you skip down to verse 12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for the truth of this. In one person, Lord Jesus, You are the central figure of redemption, our hope of knowing God, our Savior, the one who cleanses us from sin, restores us to a relationship with God Almighty, and Lord, secures us an eternal home. This is no little thing, but Lord, it is something that is, as we see in this passage, is not believed, ignored, not grasped, and this is a matter of unbelief. We pray, Lord, for our own witness to be successful only by Your Holy Spirit can it be. But Lord, it says that those who believe, He gives the right to be children of God. And we pray, Lord, that would happen more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a lot of problems in the world. We know, we see them every day. Jerry mentioned Afghanistan in his opening prayer. So just an absolute mess and being mishandled, it would seem. Very badly. And that's a current event. We have long-standing problems. Our society is full of people who lie. How do you stop people from lying? We have a lot of crime. How do you stop people from committing crime? All of these problems have been addressed. Well, you lock people up, that keeps them from doing crime, at least outside the prison, until they get out, and then they get back to it. Now, what about people who have marital problems? How do you stop that? How do you get people to get along at home? How do you make families more wholesome and happier? How do you deal with drug addiction? Things of that nature. People who are addicted to very harmful drugs, and it ruins their lives. How do you stop that? Well, the world does not ignore these things. It even tries to fix things that aren't really broken. We've seen that as well. Government often does that to show that it's needed, addresses some issue that really shouldn't be addressed. It's not necessary. But they do try. We have policemen, that's good. We have people who prosecute criminals, that's good. You do what you do. But one thing the world always does, it's really evidence of a pagan society, is people problems always are directed at the people. The people are the focus. The criminals are the ones being considered as to how you stop crime. How do you make the criminals, just in a horizontal way in society, not want to commit crimes? Well, one way they do that is by incarceration, but that works on some. There's no real solution by looking at those who are the problem. And when we come to John, John's point is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is interested in people being saved. And not only is he interested in it, he is saving people. He will save every person from eternity that he has given to Jesus. In this world, we know that by those who believe. And those who believe are those who are chosen, and we're responsible for that. It's not a matter where if we don't get to heaven, it's God's fault. But that's what the gospel is. The gospel is the Lord God choosing to save sinners. And in that choice, he gives the gospel. And that gospel then is the answer for that problem. But it is also the answer for these other problems. While we're in this world, a person who has been saved is a different person. He's not ruled by the natural things that the world is ruled by. It doesn't mean he can't sin. He certainly can. But you stop lying as just an out of control experience by people coming to know the Lord. You want to stop crime? The more the gospel is proclaimed, well, the more it will stop crime. That is John's intention, and it has a lot of effects in society. But if we focus our attention on something in the world, it seems what the world does is they do the same thing with a relationship with God. And as I mentioned this morning, the character of the unbelieving world is that they do not properly understand either God or man. People are very optimistic about what man can do. We do a lot of things that makes us proud. You know, computers are quite a thing. Being able to fly airplanes, getting to space. There are a lot of things that make men haughty. But that's not just because of technology. People have been that way for forever. Very satisfied in themselves. And there's a perversion in us because of the fall, in that when we have difficulties in society, we don't seek God. You never hear people seeking God. I mean, except just, you know, kind of as a show. You don't hear calls for repentance when some terrible crime wave grips us. There's not a call to God in these days to fix things. And there's no desire to have God fix ourselves. People are satisfied with what they are and who they are, and believe that just as we try to fix other problems we can't fix, we also have to fix the relationship with God that we can't fix. And the attempts we make to fix ourselves may or may not work. You know, sometimes you can deal with drug addiction and you can get a successful outcome. People stop taking drugs. I don't know what the percentage is. It's not more than 50%, I don't believe, but you can stop it. There are things that people can do to better their health. Crime can be helped by more police, more lighting, some places. There are things you can do, and they will be successful to some degree. But Our attempts to appease God in the minds of humans are always successful. Whenever a person thinks, I need to be right with God, whatever they do at that point, they think works. They feel that if they make some move that God is going to be pleased with, in their opinion, well, it was successful. They gave money, therefore God is pleased with them. They did a good deed, God is pleased with them. They didn't curse all day, God is pleased with them. They didn't shoot anybody, God is pleased with them. Whatever they act, however they act toward God, they feel like, well, God must be happy with me because look how good I was today. And so both with man and with God himself, people are off. Now, John makes it clear how we are saved. It's not like it's difficult, but it's really a very core foundational concept he gives here. And that's how John begins with the solutions that man has. We were cut off from God. And God has chosen to bring a gospel to us through Jesus Christ to reconcile us to himself. John 20, verse 30 says this, and this is the purpose John wrote his gospel. Therefore, many other signs also Jesus performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. His purpose is that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one anointed by God to bring salvation, life, and light. He's the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Well, there's life in Jesus. Where is there life in any other Savior? A lot of people are Muslims these days. Is there life in Islam? Is there life in cults that depend upon human labor, human works, rituals? Is there life there? The Bible is very plain that we have life only in Christ. The Lord doesn't confuse us. We confuse ourselves by not obeying Christ, not seeking Christ. The purpose of the gospel is to believe in Christ and have life. John 16, 33, Jesus said to his disciples, the Last Supper, or after the Last Supper, as they proceeded to Gethsemane, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Well, you want to overcome the world? Well, you do it in Christ. He has overcome the world. Who else has overcome the world? Nobody. John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do I give to you? Peace is a big commodity. People want peace. People want peace in their hearts. People feel guilty about things today. They don't feel guilty about their sin. They feel guilty about something they didn't even do. They're led to feel guilty about something that happened 150 years ago. And they don't have any peace because there's no atonement for things like that. That's history. You can't stop history, and God doesn't even hold us responsible for things that other people have done, other than we all fell in Adam. We all did that because he's our head. But there's never another biblical solution to the problems that we have. It's so complicated because there are many saviors and many religions and many gods in society. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's an urgent thing to be saved. The only name given under heaven, and that includes the entirety of the globe, the only name given is the name of Jesus. He's the cornerstone of the building. Every time the Bible speaks of Jesus, it's always exclusive. He is exclusively the Savior. He's exclusively the Son of God. He's the perfect Son of Man. He's the cornerstone. And he shows it by his miracles and the miracles that the apostles did. Peter here is referring to, you know, healing a man at the temple. And people are just like, wow. People do a lot of wow without drawing the proper conclusions. People get saved after this. Jesus has been doing miracles for a while. People are slow. But John 1 is a very foundational part of Scripture. And that is this whole concept of the Word. A book, people, plenty of books. You go to the library. My daughter now is a librarian. A lot of books in the library. And there are sections of books, say, of history. And within the history section, there are books that are parallel to the same subject. Let's just say Pearl Harbor. If you go to the library, you'll have a book on Pearl Harbor. You'll have another book on Pearl Harbor. You may have a whole row of books on Pearl Harbor, all from historians giving history about Pearl Harbor. None of those books will be the word on Pearl Harbor. There'll be different aspects of it. Not all will be containing the same facts. There will be a disagreement between some of them. Some of them will focus on certain aspects of it, certain men, certain ships, certain leadership, the Japanese, whatever. But there's no definitive, absolute history in a book on Pearl Harbor. We know it very well because of historians. But if you want to get a wide understanding of a certain historical occurrence, you need to read more than one book on it. And some are better than others, and some more thorough than others, and some more accurate than others. When we speak of the Word, we're speaking of a communication like a book, of which Jesus is the total Word, the complete Word. Everything that needs to be said about God, Jesus says. Everything that we need to know in order to know God, Jesus says. If you go to that same library, there are plenty of books on religion. Very depressing section of the library. Probably whenever I've seen it, it's just not Christianity, but all kinds of religions and how great each one is based upon the people who are writing, what they believe in, and on it goes. You might have a whole shelf of that. But if it's not the Word, then it's not authoritative. It doesn't trace back to God. Anybody can make a religion. We've seen that. Speaking of the Word is a communication from God, who is God. It is totally authoritative. It is completely sufficient for our most basic need, the thing that we lost in the garden, our reconciliation with God, our relationship with God, our favor with God. Jesus restores that. No other religion, no other savior, no other religious figure in history, no matter how enamored people might be of them, will do that. So John and the gospel itself simplifies our need. Philosophy and science, the various disciplines in society, they've been forever seeking what they call a unifying truth. Something that is true that holds all the other truths together. It gets kind of into heady stuff. Einstein was looking for this still in his life. And it's an elusive goal to find some law that governs all of creation, everything that has been made. But Jesus is that. He is the unifying truth for the world. Why do we have the problems we have? Well, because our relationship with Jesus Christ is not what it should be. Our relationship with God, our fall. People can have a religion or not. They can choose to believe or not. They can make God a significant factor in their lives or not. But they can't make the word not be the word. They can't make the communication from God not be the communication from God that must be obeyed. It's from God. And Jesus is the central figure of that. Romans 11, 36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. That's a unifying principle. To him be the glory forever. Amen. From him, through him, to him. It comes from Jesus. In the end, it comes back to Jesus. Everything is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's true for Muslims. It's true for Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, the whole spectrum of mankind. We preach Christ. Jesus sent us out into the world not to be a smorgasbord of various things, but to preach Christ. And the word is the unifying reality for all creation. That's what we have in common. We have that in common with every person on earth. We've all been made by Jesus Christ, and we will return to him in favor or in judgment. All the restoration of what we're supposed to be is in Christ. If we want to be our best, it's not from reading Joel Osteen's latest book. It's by coming to Christ, by knowing Christ, by the word. What should I do about God? Well, some people say you need to believe this or that, or go here or there, do a pilgrimage here or there. Well, the word says, believe. You believe. You trust Christ. Our image of God in man has been altered to the degree of the morality of. We're still of the image of God, but we've been marred by the fall. We're held captive to do the devil's will outside of Christ. We are not the way we're supposed to be. We have some very bad, vicious ways in society, and left without the grace of God, it becomes worse and worse, and hurts more and more people. So our original purpose to glorify God is restored by Jesus Christ. It's enabled by union with God. It's like being put back into the vine that we've been cut off from. And now we can bear fruit again. Now we can have nourishment again from God. We're dry as the desert in sin. So reconciliation with God is the core of life. It's not a choice that people make, like they want a two-story house, somebody else wants a one-story house, somebody else wants a Ford, somebody wants a Chevy, and someone wants a Dodge. Every person must heed the word. The word is from God. The word is God. All authority, all power, the mastery of salvation, the ability to bring a person out of darkness and into light, to heal the sick, to heal the lame, to raise the dead. All of these things show the power of God that only He can do through Jesus Christ to redeem mankind. They're made into a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. It's the most radical, fundamental, basic truth of society. And the devil doesn't want us to believe it. So let's look at verse 12 and 13 again. And this has been a topic of sermons in the past. The belief factor. Now, it noted a few times, I noted it this morning, that in the midst of this light and life and the basic core word from God, John sprinkles in unbelief. Verse 5, they did not comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend the light. You don't need much of a light. This is a brilliant light in Jesus. But you don't need much of a light in darkness to see it. They did not comprehend it. They could not grasp it. That's the depths of sin that's blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. But it says that He made the world, and the world doesn't know it. And that He came to His own, verse 11, and His own did not receive Him. But, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Now, this isn't like being added to an email list from a department store. A department store, if you want to get information from Target, deals from Target, you sign your, give them your email address, they'll be very happy to put you on. It's up to you. To be born again, to become a child of God is not that same way. It involves our will, but it's not based in our will. As it says in verse 13, who were born not of blood, not natural birth, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, not human power or the will of others. To make us Christians, but the will of God. And when the will of God is pointed out here as the means by which we are able to become children of God, it is entirely by grace. That's how every one of us were born. What part did we have in that whole thing? We show up in the world because our parents, most cases probably, planned on having kids. And all the joys that we have in life from that comes from that decision. And so the Lord chose to cause to be born again those He from eternity decided would be in His family. He would redeem for mankind those all of us fail, none of us worthy of it. He would choose to save. And those who would be chosen would believe. They would be born of God. They'd be born of the Spirit. Born again is that aspect where the Spirit of God brings a spiritual birth. The law kills. The law convicts us. Moses delivered the law. The law given was given through Moses, verse 17 says, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Undeserved, unmerited favor from God through Jesus Christ. He chose to save us. We did not have a thing in the world to do with it as far as the making of it happen. He didn't wait for us to believe and then decide. We believe because he decided. We're responsible, as I said. The Bible always is very clear about that. If you don't believe, it's your fault. You did not believe because the gospel was presented to you. And as it says here, they did not believe. They did not see the light. They did not know him. But those who know him are recipients of the grace of God. And the most astounding grace, because you're totally blind, totally in darkness, totally hard, totally ignorant, deaf and blind. And yet God saved you if you're his child. There's no merit in it. There's no congratulations to be given to you. There's only praise to God to be offered. And election means it was done just that way from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. So that God is not having any children because we were good children. He only has bad children. He only chooses sinners. And that's his grace. Now, people don't like election, some people. And I find it the most comforting of all theological facts. Without that, nobody gets saved. You want to save sinners without God's election? Forget it. You want to exercise your great powers of persuasion to convince people who live in darkness and are in the kingdom of the devil to come out? No way it's going to happen. Election is the only way people get saved. God awakening people. That's the only way it's going to happen. If you had a teenage daughter, if you want her up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't leave that to her will to do. If you leave it to her will, if she needs to be up at 8 o'clock, you might as well, expect her around lunchtime. She's not getting up at 8 o'clock by herself. She has to be gotten up. Salvation, if God were to wait for us, would never happen. We would never be moved. We'd never be convicted. We would never think we needed Jesus Christ. We would just go on. Maybe we'd be better than other people and comfort ourselves in that. But only Jesus Christ is the word. Only Jesus Christ is the way. He says it later on. And again, John in many ways parallels what he says here when he speaks of the word in John 1. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. It all is a parallel to the word. From him, the word. Through him, the word. To him, the word. Are all things. Our substance from God is from the word. What we have from God is through the word. And the way we find God is through the word. Our Lord Jesus Christ exalted a name above every name. He is the Word of God. And through his word, through him, and him alone, we must be saved. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be saved. And that although that is an impossible feat for mankind, it is that which is very simple to understand, that we must have the reconciliation with God that the Word alone brings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Savior and the only Savior. And may we, Lord, see more and more people saved in this day by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.